With that, our last closer there was Downstate's Kingdom with a little fusion of Eminem's Lose Yourself and D1's R.I.P. Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up our Beat Match Bash right on the dot of 1 o'clock. As I mentioned earlier, we have a guest speaker coming in today, and we have him here on the show. Care to introduce yourself, sir?
Yeah. What's up, everybody? My name is Jay DeMoye. What mic do I talk into? Which one?
I think it's this one.
This one?
Yes, sir.
Can the people hear me?
Loud and clear, loud and clear, man.
What's up, everybody? My name is Jay DeMoye.
So we have a guest speaker here today again, coming in live as an artist yourself, man. How's the journey been so far for you?
Oh, man, the journey has been a journey. I started singing when I was 6 years old, when I was a kid. Started making beats when I was around like 12. Started songwriting at like 13, 14, 15, around that age, and put out my first track at 17, and it's been that ever since. So really since a kid, but being an actual artist, like writing, co-producing, and singing on real records and tracks that I'm making, like 17, so it's been 5 years.
That's incredible, man. That is incredible. So I met you last week in an interview for a research study. So, you know, I'm interviewing media practitioners and how they use messages in their music to kind of challenge some industry, I guess, limitations or standards to try to keep artists in often and use their own works in this independent scene like yourself and try to uplift the culture through the messages of their own works. So I wanted to walk back because I remember in the interview you talked to me about influences you had and like particular songs and artists that really helped shape who you wanted to be as an artist and shape that journey and inspire a lot of the output that you've had in the industry. If it's okay with you, I have a little treat for the viewers where I think it's okay.
Yeah.
We can go ahead and look at some of those influences, play some of those songs to kind of get an idea and then reflect like how they, you know, they came into your work.
Yeah,
Like a chemistry experiment.
No, we can definitely do that. Let's do it.
Cool beans. And what we're doing here, ladies and gentlemen, as I've said before, this is like a lab. It's like we're going to go ahead and try to see the chemical compounds that kind of create the certain outcomes and the very wonderful explosions of musical flavor that we see in Mr. DeMoye's work.
Yeah, there you go. So somebody calling me.
we got somebody eager already, ladies and gentlemen.
Somebody trying to get in touch with me. That's bad.
Nah, it's all good, man. That means they're feeling whatever's getting put out. You know what I'm saying? So look, I'm going to go ahead and pop this up here. So actually, let's start off asking the question. So if you had to say, like, a big artist who helped influence you, who would you say is the, I'm going to start with the biggest and walk it back, if that's okay.
No, like, that's cool.
Who first comes to mind when you think about yourself and, like, your inspiration influence? Who would you say?
It's got to be, in my honest opinion, the king of music, Michael Jackson.
Hey.
Mike, MJ, my guy.
That's what I'm talking about, man. If I had to ask, what is your favorite cut?
Andy. All right. So, I mean, it depends. Honestly, you know, Mike's musical career and his life is told through eras, through his albums. But I think the one that I just, like, if I only had one song to listen to for the rest of my life, it's got to be from his 1979 album, Rock With You.
Hey.
It's got to be Rock With You. If it ain't Rock With You, I don't know. That's the one.
So I got to ask, favorite part of Rock With You, what is it, man? Is it like the drum fill? Is it the cool, like, synthesizer flow? Is it his vocal tonation? Like, what is it about Rock With You?
The first thing that makes that track so good is the drum fill at the beginning. Yeah, that part right there is probably my favorite part because you don't know what to expect after that. But then once it comes in, you're like, and once the music, you know, settles in, you're like, oh, okay, I know where he's going. But I think it's the very first lyric when he says, girl, close your eyes. And it sets the song up perfectly.
That is dope, man. And so I got to ask another question on this. So I've always heard Rock With You, and I always felt like they were really cool, like two cool parts. Because I'm thinking about both his placement as a single, but also his placement as like an album, like coming off of Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Like, how does that feel to you when you hear? Like, I feel that drum fill is so, like, it could have very well been its own song, even like a hit, especially in today's like ecosystem of music. But like for you, when you first heard that, could you walk me through kind of the emotion that you felt when you heard the energy? Did you feel like the energy, or was it, like, more like the vibe of the lyrics you were feeling?
I think it's just the song, just the whole song in general aspect of it. You know, going from, obviously, you know, you start the album with Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
For sure.
And I don't know, I have this thing with second songs on albums. I feel like if you, whatever you start the album with, if that's going to be your what you introduce everybody, that's how you introduce people into your world with your albums, is the first song. So I feel like the second song's got to be the perfect follow-up.
Yeah.
And I just personally think there's no better follow-up than Rock With You. And honestly, like I said before, the lyrics, the music, the strings, everything about that song is, like, perfect. It's key change. Like, it's got a bridge, and then it goes into, like, a groove. And then from there, you key change it. Yeah, it's insane. That's the most, it's probably my favorite song. It's definitely my favorite song by Mike, for sure.
Dope, man. Like, for real, it's always amazing to me when I hear that, you know, like, not just, like, the song and the whole, but, like, the packaging of how it's laid out, yeah, being a really big influence, mm-hmm, comes to mind. Because to your point, like that being the second track on a hit like Off the Wall, that, yeah, album, just being, you know, just being so impactful as it was. Because I think it's one thing I talk about with a lot of artists now, like that feeling of an album being the art form.
Somebody's still trying to get in touch with me.
Man,
look at that.
They feeling the vibes, man. They feeling that energy. So now, nah, man, like, look, hit them up. Tell them if they want a spot, they can get in touch.
Yeah, we good.
So, but not for real, to your point, it's like that structure of an album is just so, it's genuine. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I think Quincy Jones was on this project, yeah, helping him out with that.
This was their second time collaborating, because the first time they worked together was Off the Wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not Off the Wall. The Wiz.
Ah, yes.
They did The Wiz first, and then that's when Mike was like, hey, I'm trying to do this solo project. And Quincy was like, all right, I got you. So, but the movie's going to come out, so we'll see all that.
Yep, no spoilers.
On Wednesday 24th, or Friday the 24th, but I'm seeing it Wednesday. But, you know, yes, so.
Amen. Sure. Looking forward to that Michael Jackson film as well, the biopic. And while we look forward to it, we're going to go ahead and look back at that little track,
Rock With You. I need that.
And we'll get ready to bring it up. Michael Jackson, Rock With You, here on WMUC-FM College Park. College Radio is good radio. Check it out. Michael Jackson, Rock With You, here on WCFM College Park. College radio is good radio. So that was one of the big influences you shared with us here?
Yeah, that's the one.
Amen.
That's one of them ones.
That's a classic right there. It's a classic. So if I had to ask, so you talked to us about like Rock With You. So hearing that again just now, that nostalgia vibe, like, do you, like what is that for you? Like, it takes different forms, but when you hear Rock With You and you think about it in memory, when you hear it again, like, does that feeling evolve even more for you, or does that stay the same? Like, how does that like come back once you've heard and been familiar with it?
I think for that record specifically, it just, because I heard it as a kid, it takes me back to when I was a kid. And no real specific memory, you know, I really don't remember my first time like listening to it, but I just know that every time I hear it, that's the first thing I think about being a kid. You know, either if I was with my mom, I was in the backseat. If I was with my dad, I was riding shotgun. But yeah, just those moments, you know, it's a culmination, you know, driving. And then as I got older and being able to drive myself, you know, driving down those back roads with the windows down and the sun's about to set, and just like, hey, throw this Michael Jackson Rock With You on. And yeah, so those are moments I think about.
That's dope, man. That's dope. It's like, it's an interesting phenomenon you mentioned there. And as I'm doing a research project, I'm looking at all these different articles throughout the practitioners, some also professors also use, and I think the term is Redders, and how they analyze these works. And one of them was named Adam Banks, and he had a piece called Digital Griot. Mm-hmm. It's about how the musical pieces used by like DJs, singers, and performers often carry these inbred messages that are meaningful to us, that they transform from becoming just a piece of media now to being like a time capsule, to being an emotional like transport, to being a sort of vessel back in, you know, to the past or into the evolution, even to the future. So it's very interesting you mentioned that. I just thought that was interesting to segue those 2 points together and kind of synthesize that together. That was, that was pretty cool.
For sure.
So I gotta ask, though, as an artist, is there more than one artist? Sorry, as an artist like yourself, an independent artist, is there more than one artist like Michael Jackson that influences
you? Oh, for sure. I have a list.
Oh, yeah.
I have a list.
Go ahead,
my
man.
List, yeah, give the whole list or just go to the next one?
Hey, go to the next one, man.
So, like, for me, and again, anybody listening, don't rip me for this. This is just my personal list of people I grew up listening to and people I'm inspired by. But I would say Mike's definitely number one. Number two's got to be Stevie Wonder.
Hey, yes.
Yeah, Stevie Wonder at number two. I think he's just, I always say he's the greatest songwriter of all time. Simply because he's a blind man, but he sees more than anybody who can see. He sees the beauty in people. He sees the beauty in the world around us, and I just think that's just so inspiring, not only as a singer and a song, not only as a singer, but mostly as a songwriter. For him to not, you know, be able to see, you know, the natural disasters of the world or the man-made disasters, but to be able to see the beauty of it all, and I think that's the coolest thing about Stevie Wonder. Not only the fact that he could play every instrument and sing any song, but so Stevie's number two. Number three, it's gotta be Bruno.
Okay, so look, you gave us two big ones right there.
Yeah,
and I like how you put that too, like that even though he's blind, he sees like so much, and you're right,
and that's God. That's gotta be nothing but God.
Amen, man. So you threw Stevie out there, you gave us a preview that Bruno might be next. Yeah. So if I had to check a track from Stevie for you that you would go back and like draw upon as like a really big influence, like your like go-to Stevie, which would it be?
Ooh, okay, all right. There's a couple songs, right? And I'll tell you which one to play. I think the first one for me by Stevie Wonder would be my favorite Stevie Wonder song, My Cherie Amour.
Ah, yes.
That's probably my favorite Stevie Wonder song. And I would say two other songs that follow after Stevie or follow after My Cherie Amour. I would say Overjoy.
Mm.
And I think probably the greatest R&B song ever written is a song called As.
Oh, snap. So you got that sentimental Stevie vibe going.
Yeah, As is the track, because he has a lyric, and it's my favorite lyric ever written. He says, as today I know I'm living, but tomorrow can make me the past, but that I mustn't fear. For I know deep in my mind the love of me I left behind, for I'll be loving you always. That is probably the greatest lyric ever come up with. I don't know if he wrote it, if he didn't write it, whoever came up with it, good God, they need every royalty check they can get, because that is
it's poetry, man.
It's straight poetry. It's straight poetry. And that song inspired one of my records called Grateful, that I've written, and that song definitely, yeah, I can't even put into words how much that lyric and that record means to me.
That's dope. Sure.
And it's like 7 minutes, like it's like 8-7 minutes, and I sit through it. Yeah. So definitely that. But if you had to play a song by Stevie Wonder, I'd go Overjoyed.
Overjoyed, I got you.
Overjoyed, I either go, yeah, Overjoyed for sure. That's cool. Probably it.
And when we come back, I got a little something to add on about Az as well, but okay. I want to go ahead and play Overjoyed, because you got that stuck in my head now, man. Let me go ahead and pull that up. We got Stevie Wonder, Overjoyed, coming up, ladies and gentlemen, here on WMUC-FM College Park, where college radio is good radio. Check it out. Enjoy the vibe.
Over time, I've been building my castle of love, just for two, though you never knew you were my reason. I've gone much too far for you now to say that I've got to throw my castle away. Over dreams, I am fit out of perfect come true. Though you never knew it was of you I've been dreaming. Too far away for you to say come back some other day. And though you don't believe that they do come true. For did my dreams come true when I looked at you? And maybe too, if you would believe, you too might be overjoyed over love. I had found what I've searched to discover. I've come much too far for me now to find the love that I sought can never be mine. And though you don't believe that they do come true. Did my dreams come true when I looked at you? And maybe too, if you would believe, you too might be overjoyed over love, over me. And though they are seeing probable, needs is a chance, and maybe with a chance you will find you too, like I, overjoyed over love over you, over you.
That was Stevie Wonder, Overjoyed, track 2 in Jay DeMoyer's set list of tracks. Yes, oh, yes, come on, man.
We got the country record coming on.
Right? Oh, man, much respect to TLC on that one. And much respect to iTunes for playing Random Play. But Yeah, that was Overjoyed Stevie Wonder. If I may as well, because Jay was sharing about some of his influences with Overjoyed as and the last one you mentioned.
The song As.
The song As, yeah. Overjoyed, and then you mentioned there was one more. But as you were sharing those...
Oh, My Sherry and More.
My Sherry and More, yeah. When you share those influences, I remember reading... So I think I've shared with the audience before, I'm a big history buff of music, and I like to look at the story, as well as, like, you know, the details of who wrote the track, who mastered it, who went inside and, like, recorded, like, with Stevie Wonder, Michael, like, with Quincy Jones and Michael Jackson, for example. But with As by Stevie Wonder... I was remember reading that it was an interesting time, and it's deep in this sense, because I'm thinking about myself as an artist now and finding that confidence with your music to keep going forward. Because he shared life was very trying on him at that time, and he remembered, you know, at the point of traveling, I think it was to Africa actually, and he said he refound, like, his love for music, and God showed him a new purpose right when he was thinking, like, you know, my eyesight is becoming more of a thing I'm having to manage now as an artist, and trying to move around has not been as easy as I would like, and this journey through music is kind of, you know, weighing on me in a certain sense emotionally with trying to be an artist, a black man, an artist in the same, like, in the early years post the Civil War, post the civil protests, and post Martin Luther King, Malcolm X recent passings, like, trying to be an artist in that time and as a black man was not often easy as a challenge. But I recall reading from an article recently about Stevie Wonder's life that he wrote as, no pun intended, as a message to God. Yeah. And ultimately, as you talk...
And you know, it's crazy you say that. I don't mean to cut you off. Yeah, but I always felt like this song isn't about... He's singing to God. Like, this is a gospel record.
Yes, it was.
I don't feel like this is it's an R&B song for sure. But I think this is not. I think you're right. This is a gospel song.
Yeah.
For sure.
He said he wrote that because he felt God was talking to him. And as he was sharing all things he loves and, like, his art and how he refound this love, it ultimately became a metaphor for how he believes that God came to refine us in him.
Yeah.
And, like, how Jesus came to reclaim us and refine love with humanity and help us love him for that sacrifice and the things he tried to set as an example for.
Yeah.
So, no, I have to thank you for bringing that up, because, like, that's when you talk about As being all these great characteristics, being an upbeat song, being that joyous moment on the song in the key of life, being 7 minutes is a jam.
Yeah, I'm saying, they were grooving for sure.
For real.
Yeah.
So, nah. Mm-hmm. But you had another point you were going to Stevie Wonder.
I should have said this before we went into Overjoyed. This was, Stevie Wonder was my very first concert. I was 12 years old, and I needed to do an assignment for school. And it was go to two, like, musical sponsored things or something with music outside of school, and I needed one more, and I was like, "Ma, where are we gonna go?" I say, "I need to get this." And I was like, "Wow!" So yeah, that was my very first concert. Stevie Wonder's "Songs in the Key of Life" was my very first concert.
That's amazing, man. I was trying to balance the mics here because
yeah,
that one's coming off. But I was trying to make sure they caught your sense on that, because that's impactful. You know, it amazes me the impact of energy of music. Like, the artist as a figure is one thing, but to have that energy convey to you and have the impact on you that it did, I think it's just phenomenal, Jay.
Yeah.
So, thank you for sharing that.
And what was cool about it was that it just wasn't black people in there. It was all kinds of people in his audience. It was black people, it was white people, it was Spanish people, people who spoke English, people who couldn't speak English but singing his songs. And for me as an artist, that's important, you know, with artists like Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder, is that they bring different cultures and different people from different cultures together with their music. And that's a goal of mine with my music, is to be able to bring people from all different parts around the world to come together and just have a good time listening to music.
True artistry, man.
Yeah.
No, that's for real. Thank you again for taking that forward and for, you know, giving the culture something to resonate with. Because at the end of the day, that's
important.
That's important.
Mm-hmm.
If not the most important part, that's a really,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to sound comparative, but I'm just like, I'm appreciating the fact that you care about that as an artist, because I'm seeing a lot more people. It was an article that came out. I had to laugh, but, you know, laughed a little bit in a mad way a little bit. There was somebody say, you know, for me, I just want to get rich. I'm like, bro, don't do that, man.
You ruin music like that. Don't do that.
Yeah, no, the money will fall. Yeah, my dad's told me that. My teachers have told me that. Anybody I've worked with who's an artist and passionate about what they do in any career has told me that the money will come if you just, you know, you build yourself and you give quality to what you do. So, no, that's really appreciated you sharing that, man. And, you know, speaking of someone that I talk about, you know, who gives a lot to his music, but does a lot of different work in music. Mm-hmm. You mentioned this artist earlier, Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars.
Oh, man. Peter
Jr. Seeing him in concert next week.
Hey!
Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm on the way, Bruno. Don't you worry about it. I'm on the way.
Nice. So I got to ask. So this man is an interesting man within the, or interesting artist within the industry. This guy does so many different genres, but he does them all so well.
Yeah.
I mean, again, for all my qualms with Bruno Mars, I cannot deny his energy, his performance resume. He's in it, and he cares so deeply about it. And in my opinion, he's probably the closest thing we have to like a Prince.
Yeah.
In terms of like this man has a home studio. He has a whole production squad. Like he worked with Anderson .Paak and Bootsy Collins. Yeah, he paid tribute.
For sure.
So.
And I think that's just who he is as an artist. A lot of people call it. They try to say it's a cultural appropriation.
Agreed.
But I think what it is it's music appreciation, really. You can tell when someone's doing something as a gimmick. But with Bruno Mars, he kind of grew up how I did, where we grew up listening to a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing now as we're making music is that we're making the music that we fell in love with, and we're making the music that we grew up listening to. And you know, after Michael Jackson had passed away, there wasn't really an artist that I resonated with as a kid until Bruno Mars comes up and he's doing his first album, Doo-Wops and Hooligans, and he's doing the old 50s, 60s retro vibes. And I'm like, yeah, I know where that comes from because I grew up with that. And then he comes out with Locked Out of Hell, not Locked Out of Hell.
The album.
And I'm like, yeah, no, I know where that comes from. I get that. I see that. And then he comes out with my favorite album, which is 24 Karat Magic, and we all know that's
creme de la creme, man.
That's New Jack Swing. That's 80s R&B, you know, an R&B that would be turned into pop at that time period, because R&B was really dominating the pop charts because of New Jack Swing.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yes, I know where that comes from. And when he does Silk Sonic with the 70s soul sound, and even now what he's doing with the Romantic, where he's incorporating those
Bad Latin, Bruno!
Yeah, where he's back. He's incorporating those Latin themes and those Latin grooves into his music. So I resonate with it heavy because I understand that it's appreciation to the music that he grew up listening to, and not just him trying to, like you said earlier, just get rich. Nah. This man is truly talented, so for sure. Yeah.
For real. And so with all, you basically broke down my next question, which was with all these amazing genre diverse experiments he's done, all these projects he's had under his belt. By the way, so in that compilation album, Bruno, because that's big. You have a big body of work, man.
Come on, brother.
But for real, with all these different influences you talked about, and all these different sounds he incorporates, which album would you say is your favorite? And from that favorite, which track?
This is no brainer. This is a no-brainer. It's 24 Karat Magic, the album. But the song, now, if I was throwing a party, and I wanted to get all the girls on the dance floor to move, I would have to go with my favorite Bruno Mars song of all time, which is track two. Because remember, I got to think about track two. Track two, the song's called Chunky.
Hey, man, that's what's up. So we're going to go ahead and play that one then. Coming up, track two off of the 24 Karat Magic album. This one's called Chunky. By Bruno Mars on WMBC FM College Park with College Radio. Good radio. Check it out.
She gotta shake a little something.
Shake a little something.
Ooh. Throwing that thing from left, right, side to side. She gotta have her own money.
She got her own money.
Oh yeah. Shout out to the girls that pay their rent all the time. If you ain't at a party, take your back home. If you're getting naughty, baby, here's my phone. Slide with your boy to the bar. Slide with your boy to the car. I've been searching everywhere and now here.
crazy dukes.
I wanna get down.
Yeah, them the ones I'm tryna recruit. I'm looking at you, yeah, you, baby. Now let me hear you say you're ready.
I'm ready.
Oh yeah. Girl, you better have your hair weave strapped on tight. Cause once we get going, we rolling. We'll cha-cha till the morning. So just say alright.
Alright.
If you ain't here to party, take your ass back home. If you getting naughty, baby, here's my phone. Slide with your boy to the bar. Slide with your boy to the car. I've been searching everywhere and now here you are. Ooh, chunky. Looking for them girls with the big old hoops that drop it down in Daisy Dukes.
I wanna get down.
Yeah, them the ones I'm tryna recruit. I'm looking at you, yeah, you, baby. Squeeze all of that in my coupe. Girl, I choose you. Chunky. Looking for them girls with the big old hoops. That drop it down in Daisy Dukes.
I wanna get down.
Yeah, them the ones I'm tryna recruit. I'm looking at you. Yeah, you, baby. Chunky.
Nice pick there. We had Bruno Mars, Chunky, off the 24 Karat Magic album, track 2 in this case. So, yeah. Nah, any more insights you have on that one, Jay?
Yeah, no, I mean, if you guys really got to listen to music, you know, when you're listening to this song, really listen to that second verse and listen to the bass line change, how it goes from wherever it was doing. It's very subtle. It's very quick. You really gotta listen to it. You know, when I was a kid, my dad, he would always be like, "Scoop, you know, listen to this part. Listen to what the bass is about to do," and I wouldn't hear it. And this is like early to mid 2000s, so we couldn't like slide the iPhone to the specific part. So you got to start the song over. Just so we could hear what this specific bass line or what this specific guitar lick was doing, this drum fill, this piano. And naturally, as I gotten older, I've naturally started to do it. You know, in music, for all those who don't make music, there's something called stems. And basically, a stem is individual tracks of what, you know, you may have a vocal stem, you may have like a bass stem, a guitar stem. And basically, what I naturally do is I kind of single everything out and single everything down to just where I can only hear that. I can't explain it, but it's like, it's kind of like a superpower almost.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think it comes with practice because I remember I had the fortune of having a teacher who was a bassist, being like the coach of our family band.
Yeah.
And he would always encourage us to immerse ourselves in the actual vibe of the track, to your point, like catch those parts. Because even though we had like access to Spotify, iTunes, we still had CDs. Like, my mom and dad's cars had CD players. Yeah, like, they had the music we were listening to. And if we didn't, we just went to YouTube. But again, there was always, you know, those subscriptions not always having the easiest to scrub speed because you had to listen to it once depending on the signal area. But to your point, you still had to immerse yourself and catch like the vibe and the essence. I think it was the word he would use. Because there's a difference between, like, you know, you can read the music. With anything, you can read it. But if you really like are in it, you can kind of capture the sound from just being in it and being familiarized. Like you mentioned earlier with Bruno's influences versus cultural appropriation, he actually feels it. And like, that's why he's so good with his releases.
Yeah.
So,
but no, because it's intentional and it's genuine.
Yeah.
And I said this in our interview last week that, you know, when you're making music, it's got to come from a genuine source and a true appreciation and a true love of whatever it is you're pulling from. because anybody and everybody will see the imposter that's trying to sell them something. So you definitely got to just be as genuine as possible with whatever it is that you're making.
Nah, for real, that's the dope insight, man. I'm just taking this log down because I'm noticing a little bit of feedback on that mic, so I'm putting this one close to the center to kind of capture the sound and bumping the volume up. But because this information is valuable. This is beyond the song. This is beyond the work. This is the real insight that...
For sure. And I'm not a professional yet.
Hey.
I'm just someone who just really loves to make and listen to music. That's it.
Hey, man. That's the best qualification ever, actually.
That's it. Yes, sir.
As long as you love it and you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Mm-hmm. My dad tells me that. Legendary hockey player Willie O'Ree says that. Yeah. So you got to vibe with it. So, again... Much respect to you and your journey for that. Appreciate the insights you're sharing with us as you're on that.
Yeah, for sure.
And as we're on journeys, perhaps, man, we're look at the next artist. So you had this list you mentioned earlier in the show. We went through now Bruno Mars. We went ahead and had Stevie Wonder. We had Michael Jackson. Is there anyone else in your influences?
For sure. I want to say the Godfather's soul, James Brown. James Brown. It's got to be James Brown. James Brown is... So when... I like to consider myself a studier, right? I like to study who my influences are and who influences my influences.
Yeah.
And we all know Mike got a lot of his stuff from James Brown.
Yeah.
And James Brown is just one of the greatest entertainers ever to ever walk planet Earth. So definitely James Brown is on that list. He'll probably be number four.
Number four, all right.
Number four, and then number five. We got to keep it in the Brown family. Bobby Brown.
Hey! Okay, so that's two off the bat. We got to go meet the Browns.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, got to go meet the Browns.
So
Chris is on that list, too. He's there somewhere. So we got the Brown trifecta.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking about. We even talk about Chuck Brown.
Yeah, for sure.
So, we got James Brown. We got
Bobby.
We got Bobby Brown. We got Chris Brown.
Yeah.
We got J, B, and C. All right, so... If you had to ask to play next, given like your feelings for like their soul, because they all are really talented dancers, really phenomenal entertainers, who would you want to play first, man?
Let's keep it old school. Let's go James Brown.
All right, and which track?
James Brown. We gonna keep the funk alive. We gonna keep the funk alive. So the James Brown track that I would play and introduce, if someone didn't know who James Brown was,
yeah,
and I had to introduce him to James Brown, I think the track I would play, I'd have to go, you know, we're going to keep it simple. We're going to go, I Feel Good.
I Feel Good, James Brown?
Keep it simple, yeah.
All right, let me pop that up right now, man. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got James Brown, I Feel Good, featuring the Famous Flames, right?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Let's go ahead and pop it up here on WMUC. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. James Brown, I Got You, I Feel Good, featuring the Famous Flames. Here on WMUC FM College Park, broadcasting live top of the South Campus Dining Hall.
I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got a year. Oh, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. Sugar and spice. I feel nice. Sugar and spice. So nice. So nice. I got you. got to you. So good, so good. I got to you.
Yes, sir, ladies and gentlemen, James Brown and the Famous Flames. I got you. I feel good. That's a dope track, man.
That's my boy right there. Shout out Mr. Brown, man.
Hey, God rest his soul, man. Godfather's soul. That's my first time hearing that track, too, so thank you for
introducing
that. For real? For real. I've heard Get Up Off That Thing. I've heard that one that was in Spider-Man, but I've never heard...
I Got You, I Feel Good?
Nah.
That's a staple. Oh, okay, so I'm glad I picked that one, then.
Hey, man, you helping out.
I'm glad I picked that one. And I also want to say one thing real quick. So my sister... her dad, he used to be James Brown's drummer.
For real?
Yeah. His name was Robert Mousy Thompson. He recently passed away, so rest your soul, Mr. Mousy. We love you. We miss you. But he used to be a drummer for James Brown. That was tribute to you, Uncle Mousy. We love you, man.
Hey, for real, man. Appreciate that shout out, man. God rest your soul as well, sir. Thank you for the good works and contribution to the culture. Mm-hmm. So, no, for real, that's good stuff. So, any more insights you want to share on that one? Should we get to the other Browns?
Nah, we keep pushing. I think James spoke for himself.
Ah, yes, indeed. So, with James speaking for himself, Breezy or Bobby?
Let's go. Let's keep it in line. Let's go, Bobby.
Let's go, Bobby. Yeah. Okay.
We'll get to the last round. We'll get to the last round.
Which Bobby you thinking?
So what always amazed me about Bobby was his ability to not only sing, but rap.
Yeah.
And it really inspired me to want to kind of take that step in my own music and with some future projects I'm working on now. So I would say the record that I would want to hear to really showcase not only his singing, but his rapping is a song off his Bobby album.
Oh.
And the record is called Getaway.
Yes, sir.
Getaway is probably my favorite track off that because, like I said, he can sing, but Bob is a damn good rapper too, man. So definitely, I would say Getaway.
Alrighty, okay, let's go ahead and get into it. Let's go with Bobby Brown, Getaway off the self-titled 1992 Bobby album, man. Here we go, Getaway by Bobby Brown. Here on WMUC-FM College Park, where college radio is good radio and about to get even better radio. Mm-hmm. Check it out.
I'm not afraid to an necessity to move. So hit it where you're feeling and let the rhythm snatch ya. Throw a good rhyme, so watch what's coming at ya. As I release another brown batch of jams that slam, and you can't touch, so scram. I know you're crammed to understand who I am. Damn, by the way, can I please get this jam? Let's not freelance, cause I'm just getting started. Believe me, that was nothing but a brown party. That's going on, and got it going on. Bob and Ted's ready, number one, so flow on. And if you're in the house, pump your fist and say, ho! Oh.
Bobby Brown, Get Away. Oh, man, come on, Bow Wow. Oh, Bobby Brown, Get Away from the self-titled Bobby album. We've just hit the 150 mark, ladies and gentlemen. These hits have been cooking.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get the party started, man. Hey. Whatever's coming on at 2 o'clock, I'm just trying to set the tone.
Yeah, indeed. That would be Sean's Mon Mon, if I'm not mistaken. DJ comes in here and plays one of the greatest shows on this broadcast station. Yeah. So.
All right.
But yeah, we're getting the party started for him coming in. And so you mentioned Breezy, and with it being the 150 mark, we're going to make Breezy our good closeout. So yeah. What would you pick for Chris Brown's catalog, and why would you pick it?
His song off his ex album called Fine China.
Mm.
The reason why I picked Fine China is because it's a really groovy record. It's definitely Michael inspired. And it's probably... It's one of those records that is just so undeniable when you listen to it. It makes you want to dance. It makes you want to grab the girl by her hand and bring her on the dance floor. So, yeah, definitely it would have to be this. Definitely Fine China.
It would have to be Fine China. All righty, man. Chris Brown, Fine China, coming out to close out our amalgamation observation of the day and our special guest interview. So, here we go with Chris Brown's Fine China.
In a door, I just gotta know.
talk about a closer, ladies and gentlemen. That is Chris Brown, Fine China, from the X Expanded Edition, courtesy of the Jay DeMoyer playlist of favorites.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah.
Much appreciated, brother, for having you on the show.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate you.
Nah, our pleasure, man. Our pleasure here at WMUC. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in and supporting WMUC, supporting artists like Jay, supporting the music of the artists we play today. And hopefully this music helps support you through your day. And in addition to the music we're sending out your way, we're going to go ahead and send a power prayer. No freestyle rap intended, by the way. But anyway, here we go to get into the power prayer, ladies and gentlemen. All righty. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy of soul. Thank you for crafting your ever-radiant light within the designs of our souls so that when we pour out these energies toward the world, it adds to the naturally existing beauty of the planet by giving it a moment for its shine to encompass a peaceably beautiful transfer of energy. Forever further evidencing the immaculate quality of your works, God. Lord, please guide our hands to create, guide our minds to think righteous thoughts, and guide our hearts to love you. And please guide our ears to listen for your voice alone in the thinking and contemplation processes of the decisions that you place us in positions to make during our journeys through life, God. In all your wondrous ways, please continue to guide us closer to you and your will through your will alone. Lastly, thank you for your awesome power of the Holy Spirit, for it is the best thing that ever happened to us as your children. In Jesus' name I pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, have a blessed week, Jay. Much appreciated,
thank
brother.
You. Thank you for having me. Appreciate you, man.
My pleasure. And take care, ladies and gentlemen. Signing off.
Somewhere a man will cry out, yeah, for help to meet others' needs, yeah. Inside his heart will break, 'cause his voice, yeah, no one wants to hear, no, no. Yeah.
Somewhere a mother mourns her love. She sits in a lonely tear of someone else. Her child is no longer here. No longer.
Love sent me
in need
of love today.
Oh,
delay.
Senor.
Senor's in right away.
Hate's going round.
Hate's going round.
Tenderness can heal a heart that's broken and scarred.